Lighthouse Church presents the following message by Pastor Jason Holloman.
Good morning, church. Merry Christmas. Excited to be able to celebrate today with you. It is the Lord's Day, Sunday, December 25th, and so the church gathers on the Lord's Day, and that's what we do. It's just what Christians have been doing for centuries, as we are once again between the two Advents. And so it really is such a privilege to be able to share the word, open the word today with you, and for you to be sitting there in your pajamas around a TV while I'm in here with a suit. And you can already see where my attitude's coming from, because all of you can sit there and drink hot cocoa and enjoy all of that. But no, your pastor's up here in a suit, very uncomfortable, opening God's word to preach to you. And so because of that, we're not going to let this be a short sermon. This is going to be a really long sermon because of that. And so I just want you to know that that's not going to be the case. No, we're going to celebrate together. We're going to celebrate what God is doing. And we're going to celebrate even just the joy that we had last evening. And so last evening, when we walked through the two narratives that we read, the narrative that is seen in the Gospel of Luke and the narrative that's seen in the Gospel of Matthew, it's so important. I said it last night. I'm going to say it again this morning. It's so important that in this season of Christmas, where everybody wants Santa and everybody wants tinsel and everybody wants a Christmas tree and everybody wants presents wrapped underneath this tree, that we as believers remember the most significant part of this season, which is reading the narrative of God sending his son Jesus, and reading the narrative of the son that was to be persecuted by Herod, and to read the narrative of Mary as she considers all that has been done and this miraculous conception and birth. And so for us, it's critical that we do. And so today, Christmas morning, we're going to start as the Gospel of John starts. So we're going to start there, because the Gospel of John doesn't give us the typical narrative. The typical narrative is found in Luke, it's found in Matthew, and in Mark. You see Mark starting a different way with his gospel, and the Gospel of John starts a different way altogether. The Gospel of John gives us Jesus being sent into the world, but it's not the narrative of the birth. Instead, it's a very different narrative. It's a huge, expansive illustration of what takes place when a son is born from Mary. What we see here is that it is a son born from Mary, yes, but when John describes this, it's an altogether different thing. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. And this is about the birth. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He made all things through him. And literally, when Jesus enters our experience, we just sang Emmanuel, when he enters our experience, God with us, it changes men and women. Now, you might be saying, yeah, I know, I need to go to church more. That's not the point of this. Or, I know what you're saying. I need to be doing more of this thing or more of that thing. No, when the gospel comes to men or women, when the reality of Jesus and belief in Jesus come to men and women, it is a miraculous event. The same power that grants conception to Mary that we read about last night, the same power available in that miracle is the same power available to the miracle of the heart. Now, the reason why I want us to go a few hundred years later and look at Acts chapter 16 this Christmas morning is because I want us to be reminded of what a miraculous act. So Jesus was sent to the world. Amen. Praise God. And for Easter, we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Like, those are the two anchors of the Christian calendar. But this day, I want us to just remember, Christmas Day, I want us to remember that the power of God, when descending upon men and women, when the power of God in the narrative we're about to read descends upon an entire household, you are forever changed. And so if you turn with me, Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 25, this is the story of the Philippian jailer. And if you understand anything about the story, you'll understand the context here is that Paul and Silas are in prison, and there's a lot going on, that they're about to potentially be released the next day. And if you continue to read on in the narrative, you'll know that that the magistrate did, in fact, try to release them and kind of put that magistrate in his place. But for our time today, for the remaining time, this Christmas morning sermon, I want us to start in verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were singing and praying hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I love this. So already, they're in dire circumstances. In fact, if you remember, Paul writes three of his epistles. They call them the prison epistles from jail. And all of a sudden, there was a great earthquake. Now, in God's sovereign hand, there is no happenstance that befails Christians. So there is no random earthquake in God's economy. But nonetheless, a great earthquake shook the foundations of the prisons, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bounds were unfastened. So they would have been bound inside of jail, and they would have had the prison doors locked. Now, if you ever have the opportunity to go to Israel and see what a first century Philippian prison looks like, they're pretty antiquated. I mean, it's not very sophisticated, which is why you had to bound the prisoner as well as have the prisoner behind locked doors. And so all the bonds were also unfastened. Verse 27, and when the jailer woke, he saw that all the prison doors were open, and he drew out his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. Pause before you go any further to verse 28. Do you see what's happening here? Do you see what's happening in this jailer's life, this Philippian jailer? Here he is, probably working like a dog. He's probably been listening to Paul and Silas pray and praise all night long, probably creating confusion, creating a ruckus. He's probably under a ton of pressure. Why? Because though they don't know yet that Paul's a Roman citizen, he knows that he's a man of influence because the Romans are trying to kill him and the religious leaders are disappointed with him. And he was likely a member of the Sanhedrin recently before that. And so this is a high-value target, a high-value prisoner. And this jailer knows what's on the line. And so he wakes up. Who knows if he was even supposed to be asleep? But he wakes up from a nap. And when he does, he sees that all the prisoners are there. He's so overwhelmed that he draws his sword to take his own life. Now, is this a guy that in this moment thinks, you know what, this is a bad day? No, in this moment, this guy is completely despondent. He has nothing. Like, everything that he has to stand on, everything that he has that's underneath his feet is eroded away. How do we know? Because he has nothing else to live for. He's about to take his own life. Notice the desperation in him. Now, verse 28, but Paul cried out with a loud voice, do not harm yourself. We're all here. What? Paul and Silas, praising God through the night, prisoners listening to them, doors open, bounds holding them, freeing them. Hey, bro, don't kill yourself. We're all here. Verse 29, and the jailer called for lights and rushed in. Please notice here that the jailer's pretty freaked out. Wouldn't you be pretty freaked out? Here you are about to take your life. Somebody calls from a dark, dungy prison cell. No, we're all here. You would think it's a trap, wouldn't you? Immediately, you wouldn't be thinking in this moment, oh, Paul, Silas, they're good dudes. They're probably going to be fine. No. You call for lights. You rush in, and trembling with fear at this moment, he fell down before Paul and Silas. I think people over-spiritualize this idea. Here's a guy that has everything riding on this. Here's a guy that comes in, probably grabs other guards with him, takes lights, rushes in, and at that moment of rushing in, that's when trembling fear entered his experience. We don't have any context before that, that there was anything other than just the fact that he was going to have a self-inflicted harm to himself. He fell down before Paul and Silas. Verse 30. Then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and all of your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him, to all who were in his house. Are you seeing this? So it seems in this narrative, something's kind of sped up a little bit. So you're sitting there in your living room, in your PJs, you're enjoying Christmas morning, maybe you've just opened some presents, and you've started your traditions. I can't wait to tell you a couple of mine. And here, like, you see this, and he says the jailer's being talked to, and then all of a sudden the members of his household are being talked to. Where, it seems like we've jumped, we've jumped, that somehow this jailer in his despondency has somehow brought his household in, because as they began to talk, his household began to join him. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and all of your household. Verse 32, and the word that they spoke of the Lord to him and all that were in his house. Verse 33, now notice what the jailer starts to do now. And he took them the same hour of night, washed their wounds. So the jailer washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, him and all of his family. It's very likely that the same water used to wash the wounds of the jail of those jailed, Paul and Silas, was the very water used for him to be baptized in. Can you imagine what a beautiful picture that would be? What a beautiful sight that would be? Verse 34, and then he brought them up to his house and set food before them, and they rejoiced along with the entire household that he had believed in God. So let me ask you, so was this guy a practicing religious fellow before? Probably not. He didn't even have the right language. Hey, what do I need to do? He goes to Paul and Silas. He bows before them. He literally bows before them. What do I need to do to be saved? Don't you get the idea there that they'd say, hey, stand up. There's one Lord to bow to, and it's not Paul and Silas. So when the gospel that is heralded through the Son that was sent in this season, when the gospel goes forth, see, if this guy were in our churches today, you know what we would do? We would probably say something like, hey, man, we're so glad that you're saved. Hey, we want to put you through a 10-week discipleship process. And we want to make sure that you go through a baptism class. Make sure you sign a covenant. And make sure you do this. And make sure you do this. We would have all these different things that we would want to make sure to verify the veracity of what's going on. I mean, if we were talking about like a secular psychological program, this dude just tried to take his life 5 minutes ago. And then all of a sudden he's saved. And all of a sudden he's baptized. Like, we've come so far away from the beauty and majesty and miracle of what takes place in the heart. We like to put a lot of structure around it because it just can't be that good. It just can't be that good that a guy is about to take his own life because of his own idolatry of work or fear, and all of a sudden the power of God is revealed through faithful men here, Paul and Silas, and he is saved and all of his household. And then he's immediately baptized. And though context is not given, he is likely immediately brought into the church. So what do we celebrate this Christmas morning? I'll tell you what we celebrate. The unbelievable, unrestrained, all-consuming, eternal power of God in the preached word that is Jesus Christ. That's what we celebrate today. That's exactly what we celebrate. And so, man, open presents. Amazing. Like, drink some great hot cocoa and cider. Amazing. Enjoy time with family. Amazing. But let me tell you something, the most significant memory and Christian tradition that my family has in this season, I can give you all kinds of fun stuff we do with presents. The most significant tradition is the tradition that our family takes together a bunch of those cheap cinnamon roll packet things you get from Walmart, and we arrange them in the shape of a cross or a Christmas tree, whatever the kids get to quickly. And we put a single candle in the middle of that, and we sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. And then, yeah, I'll be honest with you. Like, you know how quick it is to, like, grab that piece of birthday cake, shove it in your mouth while you're waiting around the tree to maul a bunch of presents? Look, I get it. I totally get it. But in this moment, let us not forget the power of God to save the most desperate men and women, of which were some of us, of which was the Philippian jailer, of which was the Apostle Paul. And so, Merry Christmas, truly. Merry Christmas. What an amazing day. I hate that we're not together celebrating this day together and preaching with everybody in here. Instead, I get a chance to preach to Jeff and Jacob, Daniel, Jordan. No, I wish we could be together today. Circumstances don't allow it. But what remains will remain. And if this video lasts 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, if it lasts 30 more seconds, what is to be remembered from this service and this video, this Christmas day, is that the power of God has not one percentage point diminished from the day that was true of him being sent to the world, for the day that the Philippian jailer was saved miraculously, to this day, Christmas morning, 2022. Church, let us pray together. Father, we celebrate. Ah, what a good day. What an amazing day to be able to just celebrate your word. Thank God for the Philippian jailer. I can't wait to meet him in glory. When you return, I can't wait to say, hey man, what's up? What was the deal? Why were you so freaked out by Paul and Silas? What was going on in your heart before Jesus Christ saved you? I can't wait to one day shake his hand and talk through just the desperation he must have felt before the day his life changed. Eternity began for him that day. And so, Father, as we remember the broken body and shed blood, this is the season of Advent. So we're celebrating God sending you in the form of a child. And yet we don't forget the greatest act of love given to us by you, Jesus Christ, than your death upon the cross. And that's what we remember today. Church, if you have the opportunity to get elements, if you've got some bread, listen, white bread, wheat bread, whole grain, find some bread. It's very likely that it's got some leaven in it, so you just ask forgiveness for that, for those of you that weren't prepared. But if you've got some bread, grab some bread. If you've got some fruit of the vine, then go ahead and grab some of that. And if you've got something else, then do so. And if you don't have any of those elements, then, man, that's fine too. It really is okay. Not everybody just has Lord's Supper elements ready. But there might be a couple of folks. In fact, I'll probably hear from you. You'll probably send me an email and say, hey, I just want you to know, Pastor Jason, my family was ready. And then I'm going to give you two thumbs up. Good job, fam. Good job. So on the night that Jesus was to be betrayed, now remember, we're celebrating this Advent season, the birth of Jesus. This is at the conclusion of the earthly ministry and life of Jesus. But on the night that Jesus was to be betrayed, he takes the bread, he breaks the bread. He says, take and eat, my body broken for you. Church, let us remember again. And in like manner, Jesus takes the cup. He says, this is the cup of the new covenant. Praise God. Praise God for the new covenant. Take and drink. Father, we thank you for this service. We thank you for the opportunity to spend some time together. We do, as a staff at Lighthouse Church, as an elder body at Lighthouse Church, we bless this family watching this service. We ask that the remainder of this day would be one of deep, spiritual, eternal significance. Come quickly, Lord, we ask and pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. Bless you, church.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message. For more information, visit our website at lighthousentx.com.